past 4 years, a group of indigenous teenagers from Northern California and Southern Oregon tribes has been training for a historical whitewater trip down the Klamath River. A trip that will start at Klamath Headwaters in Oregon and end at the mouth of the river in California. It's the first trip of its kind for over a century. This trip is only possible because of the removal of 4 dams on the Klamath, completed in 2024 after a legal victory by tribes and environmentalists in 2010. The Klamath now runs free, or nearly free. And the salmon the tribes along the river have relied on for sustenance for centuries are returning to the spawning waters of the past. The trip the teenagers are taking, which will span 30 days and 400 miles, is a celebration of this momentous occasion and a chance for them to connect to the river in a way 4 or 5 generations before them have not been able to, by riding the river free. The name of this event is The First Descent. It's made possible by Rios to Rivers, a multinational organization that seeks to connect local indigenous youth with the rivers of their tribal land, with a special focus on rivers that have been dammed, blocking the natural passage from source to sea. To get a better sense of the first descent and the work Rios to Rivers is doing locally as well as globally, KMUD's Lauren Schmidt spoke to Amata Lang, a Karuk native who lives in Humboldt County and has been a part of a team of educators and kayakers training the teenagers for the ride down the Klamath.
I have been fortunate enough to have been working with Rios to Rivers the last few years, and I work as the Director of Outdoor Adventure and Cultural Education for Rios to Rivers. I've been a part of their Paddle Tribal Waters program. And with that opportunity that's been given to students and adults, I feel, that are native in our communities with regards to whitewater kayaking and connecting to our dam removal, it's been a huge, huge rewarding work, I would say, for me in the last few years.
Besides lobbying the UN to prioritize climate resilience and community rights over hydroelectric dams, Rios to Rivers runs programs in Chile, Bolivia, and the US that connect indigenous youth to the local rivers through education and kayaking. The name of the Klamath program, which Amara Lang is a part of, is Paddle Tribal Waters. The youth involved in Paddle Tribal Waters come from the Karuk, Yurok, and Hoopa tribes, as well as the Confederate tribes of Warm Springs and the Klamath tribes.
These kiddos that are a part of our programs have been on the river their whole life. River has been that space for me growing up as a native person. It's always been there. You don't have to pay to go there. It's your family spot. You grow up and you kind of, that's just a norm for me at least. And I see that through some of our youth, and that natural way of growing up on the river has really just, you can see that comfort in kayaking with these students, and the natural stewardship and allyship just comes in with being, I think, a native person and where we come from and the fights that we've had or seen or know from our home communities, and then also the successes and the movements that have just been really rewarding and fulfilling to our communities too.
He said, it's not a song, it's a way of life. It's a forever thing, it's a message. He said, you can say that water is life. You can sing it again and again, but will they listen? Are we gonna stand by these words? Are we gonna find a way to change the way we're living, Mother Earth? She feels everything and it hurts. Like the moon, like the body of a woman, she is changing. Can we return to the times when water was alive, when we prayed at her edge and gave thanks for this life? When the water fell from the sky and we drank from her bosom, when the water fell from our eyes and the water fell from our wombs, when it rose up to the surface and we knew every spring, no fear of competition, just a relative to a phase.
A lot of these students now have been, some of them have been in the program since they were 14 and they're turning 18. Some of them in the program, they're 12, they're turning 16. And so this is some of their formative years that they're really getting to have these inner exchanges with other tribal students and kiddos around the region. Because again, we do the Klamath Basin and support Klamath Basin students in our programming, but we do have some kiddos that applied from the Deschutes River and Warm Springs territory. And so there's been cultural exchanges where you can see those friendships are going to last a lifetime. You can see that.
Paddle Tribal Waters isn't just about kayaking. It's also an educational program that has teamed up with World Class Academy to take their students on cultural trips to Chile and Bolivia while providing them with an accredited education. Call it a traveling floating high school.
The school systems and the school education and the way that our students aren't necessarily having their education supported in our reservation areas and native communities sometimes too, at least locally. This has given them a forefront to be excited about their education, have teachers talk to them specifically and be there for them directly in one-on-one support. And a few of our native staff last year created an indigenized curriculum and actually had it pass through World Class Kayak Academy to be accredited and to teach. And so I was able to be a social studies and environmental science teacher last year and actually teach about our home communities and our different types of epistemologies and traditional ecological knowledge-based systems. And you can see that the kids were excited to learn about them, their home communities and history about where they're from. And that, for me, made me realize that there are spaces in our communities that can still be filled with opportunity. A lot of the times get sucked out with like, not enough teachers, not enough this. And it's like, well, if we actually had these resources for our kids, they would do great. And so that's really what I realized through this programming. It's inspiring our kids to continue their education, but it's also allowing them to really map out how they want their education while they're doing something that's fulfilling. And that's what I've realized for this kid, these kids, is that providing them something that is so much of an opportunity is you're seeing how much they want that, and their parents, and it's just a trickling effect. I'm super stoked to be a part of it.
Can we return to the times when water was alive, when we prayed at her edge and gave thanks for this life? When the water fell from the sky and we drank from her bosom, when the water fell from our eyes and the water fell from our womb.
I realized that our kids have an amplified voice through that movement, but just the way that they carry themselves as Indigenous practitioners, even at a young age, going to ceremony, practicing cultural ways, being kind and courteous to your elders at events, being an example for the younger youth when we're on trips, you just even being an advocate for fellow students. They wanted a tribal council during our Chile trip. And so we had them vote for people to come into tribal council at positions. And so they really uplift themselves. And that's been powerful to see, because, you know, you can send different opportunities their way and they really grasp at that and run with that. And I think being on the water and advocating for something in our home and then being able to do something that is super fun, such as kayaking and combining those worlds, and having the top-notch people that are in the kayak world right now help us and become instructors if we are wanting that, or however we want to carry this. I think it's just all of the right necessities, resources, and people in the right time. And I think it's just all clicking. And so I think the students really see that.
It's fair to say that being a part of the Paddle Tribal Waters program has inspired students and faculty alike to spread their wings. None more so than Ruby, a Karuk native student, and Jaden, who is from Hobart.
Ruby's an example. She hasn't been back to Happy Camp since her end of junior year. Her last semester, her second semester junior year, she basically got into our Paddle Tribal Waters program, went to Chile and the PNW, and then had summer. And then she got accepted into another world-class kayak academy program. And her and another student from Hoopaw were accepted. They fundraised, worked really hard to go on their own, and they were accepted into another traveling kayak high school program on their own. And so that inspired them to do that on their own. And they went to Africa and Canada last year. And basically now this last chunk, they were just in Chile. And so for the beginning of this year. Comes next is the first set, which is kind of crazy, but our kiddos will start back up in their end of this month of their Q4 in their world-class kayak academy and Paddle Tribal Waters kind of combo program here, and that'll wrap up in the end of around May 11th or 12th. And when this program wraps up, they'll get a little bit of time off, and then the first ascent will be starting on June 12th. And we'll be starting up near Wood River. It's going to be legitimate source to see, and we're going to be using sea kayaks some of the time, and then transferring into our boats. We'll be portaging cultural and relevant sites and being courteous in that regard. So there's just a lot going into the planning to really have a perspective to the community that we would like native paddlers to have. And I think we're setting that tone as a group of Indigenous paddlers working alongside a non-native kayak crew as well. And so that's been super fulfilling. But I think the big what's next is this: during this 30-day descent, there's going to be community events. We're still hashing out the details of the specifics on dates and times still, because we're kind of deciding which day's layout. It's just a big Excel spreadsheet, but we're kind of getting that all crunched down. We're definitely going to have at least 5 to 6 community events. And so there'll be one at the start. There'll be an event in Happy Camp where we'll have the kids that are getting dropped off that day. We'll come in, get to have some pizza, Happy Camp pizza, and then get to paddle down and have a community float that day. We're also going to have another community float in the Orleans-Soames Bar area. And I'm getting to plan that with some of my family and having them do some introductions for us as we're going down the river near our family's area. And one at the end, which will be July 12th. And so the July 12th will be a really big one to look out for. That one will be a celebration for the community at the mouth of the Klamath. And we're still hashing out those details, but it's going to be food, celebratory music, people coming from all over, in the sense of even our community paddle clubs around the world. We're kind of trying to find ways to have them come and enjoy this. We've been able to go and paddle in their home communities, so we're really hoping they'll be able to come here and get to have this enjoyment with us. We've been working really hard to support each other through dam removal and seeing what's happening in each other's communities. And so I'm just really excited at the forefront to just celebrate this big feat and 30 days out on the water without just straight keep on going. It's going to be quite a wild ride. And I know there's some of our kiddos that have the skill set to do the entire descent, and some students will be joining in at different times. And so anybody who wants to kind of come out for community events, there'll be sign up sheets. And if you know a Paddle Tribal Waters student and want to get more information, I encourage you to talk with any students in our programming. And if anybody's wanting to reach out for any collaborations or support, or they have any ideas, always feel free to reach out. A lot of the super awesome opportunities that we get, or amazing speakers, different community engagements, always come through with different people's ideas that come about in supporting us. And so, but yeah, the end of the first descent will be July 12th. And I think once that is completed, I feel our kiddos are really going to focus on keeping paddling happening. So I don't think it's going to be the last little chunk you'll hear of Paddle Tribal Waters. I think it'll be a big celebration where you'll hear that, but I definitely think there'll be some more kayak in the community from our crew here too.
These are the people of the long hunt. These are the people that you try. Swallowed your fire and lay with fever for long years. And he received a vision so inspired. Three messengers with painted faces appear on the Allegheny River at a place called Burnt House. The code was shared.
Of this continuing kayaking Amata Lang is talking about will take place in the form of a paddle club called Pa Ama that she herself has formed for teenagers of her own tribe, the Kurok.
I was really inspired by the work that we're doing within Rios, to Rivers, and I noticed that we created different paddle clubs that are around the world, like our Amazonian River Initiative is in Bolivia. There's the Kayaki Moon program in Chile. And then we have our Paddle Tribal Waters program here in the Klamath Basin. And I recently founded a paddle club for Kurok Native youth called Pa Ama Paddle Club. And Rios to Rivers fiscally sponsored the paddle club, which has been awesome in helping us kind of get up and running a little bit and getting more outreach to youth. And so I've just kind of got the idea of creating a long-lasting paddle club after this initial idea of the first descent. I thought that there could be a long-lasting club in our community, and our kids are really taking to the sport, and it's a new way to almost be a recreation professional, but also uplifting your cultural identity and yourself as a professional and your culture through it. And so it's really given an awesome voice for our youth. And so I really thought about how much our community could really benefit from that. And so it's kind of grown into a actual paddle club and movement, which has been really good. We have some other kiddos that are part of our Paddle Tribal Waters team who also created a kayak club up in the Warm Springs territory as well for their native youth of their area. And they're seniors this year, and so they're actually deciding to go to a college that's going to allow them to kayak at the same time and continue creating their paddle club. And so it's kind of been a little bit of a trickle effect after the Paddle Tribal Waters program and seeing the initiative with the dam removal. I think that has spurred a lot of hope in our community. And I definitely think the paddle clubs will keep on pushing for more movements in the sense of dam removal and protesting dams, along with just having healthy, clean flowing rivers. I think it's provided a lot of educational opportunities as well for myself. And so with this paddle club, I've really been trying to take in as much as I can, along with just networking and working with the community. And I'm realizing there's a lot of people in the water world in many different aspects. And so it's been really awesome and helped me in my professional career growing as well. The First Nations Development Institute awarded us $60,000, and it was at the beginning of their grant period, which is a little closing at the end of last year. But I was waiting in regards to kind of announce this more towards our first ascent, and that's coming up here in June. And this grant is basically a way to support Pa'ama within the first ascent and support Paddle Tribal Waters. And so this grant specifically is working for us in a sense of like providing opportunities within Kadook territory, since Pa'ama is a paddle club for Kadook youth. We focus this grant to really uplift our kiddos during events as we're going through the Klamath Basin in Kadook territory. And so it's just been really, really impactful that these grants can really support us in our home territory and really support us in the work that we want to see happen in our community. And so this grant is really amplifying that for our youth. And on top of the community events, we're also going to be able to be sharing about our films through the process. So I'll be able to actually go into the local schools here on the North Coast and kind of going up the Del Norte area and trickling into our native territory up the basin here, but and kind of share about what Paddle Tribal Waters is and our descent that's coming up. And so this grant's really allowing us to get more outspread about our movement, include more youth in our movement in the community, and providing our youth with more availability to really have this first descent be a community-based event for them. And so that's what I'm really excited about. We've been in the works of talking about a paddling film fest, and this grant will actually be able to help support that film festival that will also be showing one of our films within their lineup. And so there's just been a lot of opportunities that's really spurred from this grant at this time. And I'm really excited to kind of see it's a 2-year grant. And so this will actually even be able to support us after the first ascent's completed with showing our final film, hopefully in some areas. We're hoping to wind up the film that we've been kind of produced. It's been going on for a few years, and it's been awesome seeing the different footage of the kids over the years. And so that's what I'm really excited for, is at the end seeing the entirety of the story really play out.
The filmmakers, led by Russ Sturgis and Paul Robert Wolf Wilson, have done stellar work documenting the training and traveling the teenagers have been through for the past 4 years. And if the final film is even half as good as the shorts that have already been posted on the Rios to Rivers YouTube channel, it's going to be well worth the watch.
What I've learned through this with Indigenous stewardship and dam removal internationally and locally, Rios has really given me the opportunity to grasp the way that dams really affect Indigenous populations, and not just ours. And through Paddle Tribal Waters, I've been able actually to get more knowledge on myself. And even with the idea of the dams being out and the Klamath is free, I do like to highlight, like, one of our team members is very, very high up on Chiloquin, Klamath Modoc, and they're still dealing with the upper two dams. And so it is a free-flowing river from source to sea in the sense of where we're starting. But I do like, one of our staff really brought it up and was like, well, we're still dealing with this fight up here with these other dams. our fight is not necessarily done. And I've been learning about the Swan Lake project up on the upper Klamath area with, and this is more in regard to my staff, who's just been really informing us about more fights happening. But what I'm meaning by this is I am very, very stoked on this, the stewardship opportunities that are coming through with the first ascent happening, but it's also allowing us to see that there is still more of a fight with all of this happiness. And I'm stoked that we're paddling from source to sea. We're going to be going with the fish legitimately to the mouth. And so that is going to be super powerful in itself. But I do like to bring up that it's in technicality, it's not all free flowing. And there are still some fights that we'll definitely have to do. And I definitely think too, all rivers lead to the ocean. And that's what I've been realizing in my knowledge with this, that this fight is huge and a really, really, really awesome, I guess you can say, like, movement for others to see. An example is going into Chile and meeting the Mapuche Puenche community. And they're getting to see that our dams are coming down when they're almost 20 years behind in the way that their government and everything runs. And so they don't have control over their rivers. Some of they were given away. And so just seeing the stewardship and allyship that's happening through the Klamath dams coming down is huge. And it's very, very instrumental and inspiring for others to continue their fight around the world. But I do think we still have a lot more with the way that we have to continue this fight as activists and stewards and water protectors and just fighting the fight that our ancestors kind of sparked and continued through us. And so that's been my focus, what I've been realizing, because a lot of people keep saying free flowing. And I think the excitement's there, but I also just like to highlight that there's still those two up top and they still control a lot of what's happening up there with the upper Klamath Basin tribes.
So, as Amata Lang from Rios to Rivers says, a lot has been accomplished, but there is a lot more work to be done. It was ever thus. But for the time being, no one could blame Rios to Rivers and Paddle Tribal Waters for resting on their laurels while celebrating the freeing of the Klamath with the first descent. You can follow the event by going to riostorivers.org, where you'll find a dedicated first descent page. And you can also follow them on social media at Rios to Rivers. Our thanks to Amata Lang for speaking to us, to Lauren Schmidt for conducting the interview, the KMUD engineers for making sure this reaches your earbuds through your AirPods, and to Lila June, T Cloud, Robbie Robertson, and Kochi Mia for their beautiful musical accompaniment. My name is Sigurd Björn, and this has been the KMUD Public Affairs Program. Thank you for listening.